Good morning. My name is Shelton Clark, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today. I am one of the four members of Deaconess Ann House, currently serving here in St. Louis through the Episcopal Service Corps. For those of you who don't know, the Episcopal Service Corps is a network of locally organized and incorporated intentional communities dedicated to serving others in solidarity, promoting justice and community, deepening spiritual awareness and vocational discernment, and living simply in intentional community. For 11 months, we devote our lives to trying to walk the walk that Jesus set out for us. We agree to follow a rule of life that we created together, inspired by the rule of Saint Benedict. We live together, pray together, and discern our calls together. We host daily morning prayer, community meals, and a weekly Eucharist. And each of us serves at a local nonprofit organization for 32 hours a week. Through it all, we strive to live out the promises of our baptismal covenant, seeking and serving Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves, striving for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. But more on all of that during our presentation after the service. This morning's gospel reading takes place during John's 5-chapter account of the Last Supper. And when I began to look over the readings for today, I actually had to double check to see that I had, in fact, read the lectionary correctly. Because I thought we covered the Last Supper during Holy Week 6 weeks ago. Now we're in the last week of Easter. We just passed the Feast of the Ascension, and we're only a week away from Pentecost. But after a few reads, it began to click, and it actually made perfect sense that it would come now, just after Jesus has ascended into heaven, and just before we celebrate the birth of the church next week at Pentecost. At this point in the Last Supper in today's gospel, the disciples know it is the last time Jesus will be with them before he goes to die. And in fact, it is in the very next chapter that Jesus is arrested by the authorities before he is crucified. He's already washed the disciples' feet and given them a new commandment to love one another. And now he has started to pray. And in this section, which is sometimes called Jesus' farewell prayer, he prays first for his own glorification, and he then prays for his disciples who are gathered there with him. And in today's gospel, he extends the prayer to all of those who will believe in him through their word. That's us. That's all of God's people. Specifically, he prays for something very interesting. He prays for unity among the church and among all God's people. May they be one as we are one, he says. Unity. It seems like a simple request until you think about it for a minute and you realize it's perhaps one of Jesus' more radical requests. Unity. In a world that has always sought to divide us. Unity. It's a difficult thing for me even to accept. But Jesus is clear here. It is by that unity that we are to bring about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. On the night before his death, what is it at this time that Jesus chooses to pray for? He prays for the unity of his people and his church. After Jesus ascends to the throne in the kingdom of heaven, and as we prepare to celebrate the birth of his church in 1 week, how fitting that his prayer would be for unity on this day. So what could this unity actually look like for us? Where do I see this type of unity of which Jesus speaks? Well, I certainly see some of it in the Deaconess Ann House. The word community sums up so much of what our program is about, a shared life together, an intentional community. We share a home and prayers and meals, our joys, our sorrows. We work towards common goals and pledge to one another to uphold shared values. It's certainly not easy. It requires constant attention and dedication. We do face conflict in our community from time to time, and we try to face it honestly. We strive for balance and compromise in our shared life together. And while it's not a word we've necessarily used, we do strive, difficult as it may be, for that unity for which Jesus is praying today. And this unity can be an even more difficult ask in the larger communities that we're a part of this year. In the Old North St. Louis neighborhood where we live, where social inequities are often on full display, unity is a complicated thing to think about. In the city of St. Louis, in the greater St. Louis region, where a certain type of unity has been a hot political topic recently, what does true unity look like? In this region and in this country, where oppressive systems have been intentionally designed to divide God's children, how do we find real and meaningful unity? The good news in all of this is that Jesus believes in us. Jesus sees us as God's children, made in God's image. I think that Jesus sees in all of us a community that we ourselves have not yet realized is there. And I believe that Jesus calls us to work to dismantle oppressive systems in our world that needlessly and unjustly divide us, to bring about that true community, that true unity, on earth as it is in heaven. May they be one as we are one. It's interesting, I think, that as our service here draws to a close, that I would find myself speaking about unity and about community this Sunday. With our departure coming up in July, we're at a point in our year where we're reflecting on the last 10 months, talking about what we're leaving behind and what we're going to take with us. And what I am taking with me more than anything else is the way I think about community. At the home level, at the neighborhood level, the city level, the parish, the diocese, the church, the human family? What is it that can unite us? What actually brings people together in a meaningful way? What keeps us apart? After we leave the Deaconess Ann House and move on to our next steps, whether that's professional life, graduate school, or another service year, I think these notions of community and of unity will stick with all of us and will continue to evolve and continue to shape the way we choose to live our lives. The path to bringing about the kingdom of God here on earth and its promise of unity is not an easy one. But God is with us on that path. And Jesus has shown us the way. May we all be one as they are one.